Welcome to Firstline. My name is Aubrey Ann Jackson, and I am a PGY1 psychiatry resident physician. In this podcast, we discuss whole person health and wellness through an osteopathic lens, holistically addressing the body, mind, and spirit. We also discuss topics important to medical trainees, including pre-med students, medical students, and residents. Thanks for joining me. Hi, everyone. In this episode, I'm answering all the common questions about taking Comlex Level 3. How should I study? When should I take it? Do I really have to study as much as I did for Level 1 and Level 2? So let's talk about this. So you might be wondering, I'm taking Step 3, not Level 3. Does this episode still apply to me? So this episode is really about my experience with Level 3, but I've taken the step exams in the past, I just didn't take step 3. A lot of these tips are going to apply. Of course, ignore everything that I say about studying for OMEM and the CDM cases because the case portion of the exam is a bit different than for step 3. So I have waited to release this episode even though I took Comlex Level 3 in January and I was studying well before then. I wanted to wait until I actually received a passing score before releasing an episode like this because I want to come from the standpoint of someone that has been successful with the exam and can tell you that I passed my first try and I scored above 90th percentile. So I'm coming from the standpoint of someone who has proven success with this and also someone who was able to increase the score from level 1 to level 2 to level 3. So level 3 was my highest score, and I just wanted to share some of my tips for how to study for this exam. It's an exam that I think, unfortunately, a lot of people underestimate, and they might not put in the work that they need to and end up failing and have to retake it. And there's this added challenge, too, of the fact that most people will take level 3 as a first-year resident. So you have the issue of working full-time probably longer hours than you did as a third- and fourth-year medical student. So it just adds to it. And you're not having regular exams like the COMETs or your school's exams, so you really do have to be driven and self-study. There's not a ton of new material on the exam. It is more about keeping up with everything and then concentrating a little bit more on management and next steps and all the details with that. So they're kind of upper level questions, but it's really testing the same material that has already been tested on Comlex 1 and 2. Especially the OMM isn't going to change too much. It's just that you're going to have to revisit a lot of this material. So first of all, I'm going to talk about how did I decide when to take the exam. So I am a psychiatry resident. So first year for psychiatry, you have to do 6 months of psychiatry and 6 months of off-service rotations that require 4 months of internal medicine or internal medicine adjacent, and then 2 months of neurology. So my program split it up with, I had to do, it was basically 1.5 months of floor medicine in internal medicine, 1.5 months of ICU medicine, 1 month of emergency medicine, and then 2 months of consultation neurology. So I actually went on maternity leave, so I was down to one block of neurology, and then I had to make up the second block in my fourth year. So that's how psychiatry residencies are. My program does it so that you either start on psychiatry and you do your 6 months of psychiatry, or you start on the off-service rotations and do the 6 months of off-service rotations. So everyone in my year wanted to be in the group that did their off-service rotations first, because the idea is that we would do all of our internal medicine, neurology, And that would add to our preparation for taking level 3. And this is what I recommend for people to do, is to front load, especially internal medicine, because a lot of material on Comlex level 3 is general medicine. So front load those. And if you can't front load those and you do it the second half of the year, then maybe you want to take level 3 shortly after you're done those rotations. So you would be taking it a little bit more into the spring and the summertime. But I took it in January because I finished my officer's rotations in December. So it gave me a few extra weeks on top of that to study a little bit more. And I knew I wasn't going to get too much studying done over Christmas and over the holidays. So I gave myself a few more weeks. So it was the end of January that I took the exam. And I thought that was plenty of time. After the match, I did start casually studying. And this is because you have to realize that most question banks have 1-year subscriptions. Some of them will have 6 months, but I feel like you need a little bit longer than 6 months. So I think it's good to get the year subscription. So if you're going to take, let's say you're like me and you want to take level 3 in January of your intern year, then you can start the question bank in January of your fourth year. And you don't have to, you know, do a 40 question set every day. But it helps if, you know, you have some downtime to do a few questions here and there, because you're going to have that 1-year subscription anyway. And if you're taking it a little bit later on in the spring or the summer after or towards the end of your first year, then you can start that subscription right after graduation of your fourth year. So I like started that casual studying that maybe I would do a few questions if I had some downtime. And I started an Anki deck. So if you are an Anki person, you should continue with Anki. I used Dorian's Step 3 deck. It mostly took cards from the Step 2 deck. But if you have a deck that you really like, then stick with it. I think it's way easier to download a pre-made deck than trying to make your own cards, because you don't have to spend so much time making the cards. You can just jump right in on day one and do a ton of new cards and pretty quickly age a lot of your cards that you already know. I also went back and I used this OMM deck that was made for the Dorian deck for step 2. So that was embedded into the step 2 deck, and I just used that in addition to the step 3 deck that I had. But a lot of them are the same cards plus a few new cards from practice exams for level 3. It has a little bit more of the subjects that might be unique to level 3. So those are the Anki decks that I use, and of course those can be found on Reddit, so you can just search step 3 or level 3 Anki deck for Reddit and you can find them pretty easily. But I think you could also just get away with using whatever deck you were using for step 2. I think that's great review. I think the step 1 Anki decks aren't going to be as useful because they are pretty heavy in more of the really step 1 specific pathophys that you're not going to be tested on, and it's very low yield. So I had my Anki deck, I had my question bank, and I chose to use the TrueLearn level 3 question bank. I highly recommend using a question bank that is specific for level 3, not step 3. So UWorld has a step 3 question bank. I have used UWorld plus TrueLearn for step 1 level 1 and step 2 level 2. I decided that for level 3, I didn't need 2 different question banks. And the reason for this is because, you know, the stakes are very low. You do not need a good score on level 3. You just need a passing score. So I decided that, yes, I do need to study. It's important to study. It's still an exam that is very challenging and you need it for medical licensing. And I do not want to have to take this exam more than once. So purchasing a question bank is super crucial. Put in that time to do all of those practice questions. However, you don't need to score incredible on this exam. Even though I would argue that my score was very strong, I was able to do that just with one question bank. And now looking back, I'm so glad that I didn't go for that second question bank because I really didn't need it. And in the past, I've gotten several different question banks and sometimes I don't even finish them. I'll just do half of like each question bank. I especially did this when I had UWorld and AmBOSS. There's just a lot of questions and I always prioritized finishing the TrueLearn question banks because the questions were, they were just more relevant to a Comlex exam. You know, it had OMM thrown in. It had osteopathic correlations, not just pure OMM questions. There's integrated OMM questions. So I would always prioritize that and I wouldn't even finish maybe even half of the question banks that I also purchased. So with level three, I kind of learned from my mistakes in the past and I knew that I only needed one question bank. So I prioritized TrueLearn because I've used TrueLearn for level one and level two. I really liked it. The answer explanations are helpful. It's very similar to the questions that you're going to see on the Real Comlex. So I know a lot of my classmates and my co-residents use ComQuest. I have never used ComQuest, so I can't talk about it specifically, but I have heard that the answer explanations on ComQuest aren't the best. So maybe if you've used ComQuest in the past and you weren't really a fan of it, I would say try to give TrueLearn a try. I've scored very competitively on all of my Comlex exams and I never purchased ComQuest, so it is definitely not the UWorld equivalent to the Comlex exams. So it's okay if you don't want to purchase ComQuest. So I got the TrueLearn ComBank for Comlex level 3 and I didn't really seriously start doing questions probably around October, November when I would actually sit down and do whole sets. And then I really got serious about it in December and into January, where I would actually calculate the number of questions I had left of the question bank, divide by the number of days I have left, and then do those questions every day. And yeah, if you miss a day or you don't finish your questions on a specific day, you have to catch up. And with this method, I was able to finish my question bank for TrueLearn. And on that question bank, at least when I was using it up until January, there was about 2,200 to 2,300 total questions, which is more than enough. So I would say, ideally, you want to at least get in 2,000 questions. And with that, you definitely want to do some practice cases. So on Comlex Level 3, there are the regular multiple choice questions, but there's also some cases that have a little bit different structure than a typical multiple choice question. So some of them are expanded multiple choice that you have like A through Z and you have to choose up to six that can be correct. So you don't want to miss out on a correct answer when you're choosing those up to six. But you also don't want to choose an answer that is incorrect. And that would be harmful to the patient if you would pursue, for example. So things like invasive testing that you don't actually need. And then on these questions, a lot of the answer choices are marked neutral, so it doesn't count for or against you if you choose those answers. And then on these cases, there's also fill in the blank answers where you just type in what you would do. Because this is so new, it's really important to practice these types of questions, and TrueLearn's question bank has these built in. They have several different cases. And I actually, when I finished my question bank a few days before my exam, I went back the weekend before my exam and I redid all of the cases to get that extra practice in. Because it's just like a different type of testing style than choosing the best multiple choice answer. It's you have to think a little bit more when you have these expanded multiple choice, or you just have to pull an answer out of thin air instead of choosing from different answer options. So if you are interested in a TrueLearn question bank for level 3 or for any exam, I have a referral code that you can use. There's more information with what link to use and what referral code to use for a discount off of your subscription. You can look for that in this episode description or any of my episode descriptions. I include that. Another thing you might be wondering is, do I need to purchase a practice exam, a full-length practice exam? I would say you probably don't need to. With my TrueLearn subscription, there was a practice exam included that I believe was like half of the length of the one of the days of the exam. And I thought that was sufficient. It gave me, you know, a predictive score that I would pass. And I took that about 2 months before my exam. So it made me feel a lot better because at that point, I wasn't really doing questions every day at that point. So it made me feel better that, okay, if I took the exam today, I would pass. Now I just have to, you know, finish the question bank and keep steady, keep reviewing. So something I did for all of the Comlex exams is that if I got a question wrong on the question bank, I would, on TrueLearn, I would look at the bottom line and I would take notes on that bottom line. I would figure out what piece of information did I not know that prevented me from getting this question correct. So usually that would be maybe a line or two. It would be just really short pieces of information that I could refer back to, being like, okay, this was something I missed before. And I have like a record of, in just short bullet points, of things that I've missed in the past. So every now and then, maybe once every few weeks, I would look back at this document that has all of the notes that I took on incorrect answers. And I would kind of group them a little bit by a body system or by discipline, like OBGYN was its own section. So I would kind of group it like that. And a lot of times when I would go back to my document to add more, another bullet point to it, sometimes I would see that, you know, this little piece of information I forgot twice. So I was going to add it in and it's already there. So for me, that is a major sticking point that maybe I have to read up on this a little bit or try to find another way to look at it. Maybe it's something that I just don't really understand and I might have to dig a little bit deeper. Maybe then I will look it up in a e-textbook, or I'll look it up on Up to Date. I'll just like dig a little bit more and add a little bit more context to it so that I actually understand it, because it's something that, you know, I tried to memorize in the past and it just didn't stick. So now I have to look at a way to make it stick a little bit more. So it's kind of rare that this would happen, but this is really the only studying I would do outside of my Anki or my question banks. So it's really only things that, okay, I missed this a few times now. So now we have to dig a little bit deeper and review this. And it was so funny. I am glad that I was studying alongside doing my internal medicine rotations, because some things I would do like a practice question for and I'm like, oh, I know this because one of the attendings pimped me on this because this was something that my patient had. So it just helps for it to stick a little bit better when you're actually experiencing it in a clinical setting. So don't overlook those chances of learning and studying by being at work and being a resident. So try to learn something new from each of your patients and to kind of put a face behind different diagnoses will help you to understand the material. And I think it was this reason that contributed to me doing better on level 3 than my previous levels. And my, you know, my score increased from level 1 to level 2 to level 3 because we are getting more and more clinical experience. And it is supposed to be this way. Your score is supposed to increase from exam to exam, but also your expertise is changing so much and your clinical acumen is changing so much, but the material is pretty much the same. You're just digging a little bit deeper into it. So another thing is with OMM, I know a lot of people will recommend other people like, okay, reread the Green Book. But I think once you're taking level 3, we're pretty much past the Green Book. You should have the Green Book memorized by this point. If you are an osteopathic physician, you should know the Green Book front and back. I think it was probably inappropriate for me to reread it in preparation for level 2. I'm like, I already know this. This is just wasting my time. So you should know it by now. I would prioritize doing some Anki cards, especially for the counter strain points and Chapman's points. So you should know those pretty well. And I have 2 episodes that I released in the last few months about Chapman's points. So go back and listen to those, and you can count that as you're studying for Chapman's points and not have to look at another Chapman's point after that. So something for OMM I would highly recommend is to brush up on cranial diagnosis, to brush up on sacral diagnosis and treatment, how to set up HVLA, how to set up muscle energy. Definitely brush up on Fryett's laws, know them very well. On my exam, there was a lot about applied OMM, like how it applies to things like scoliosis, how osteopathic principles apply to different diagnoses that you might see. So that's why I love the integrated OMM questions that TrueLearn has, because you're studying OMM but also pathophysiology and treatment outside of OMM as well. And depending on what type of resident you are, don't forget about different blind spots, because Complex Level 3 is still going to have a lot of pediatrics and a lot of OBGYN. And so if you are an internal medicine resident, you're not looking at these types of diagnoses and treatments on a regular basis. So don't think that your work experience is going to substitute for studying. You still have to do the questions and make sure that you are seeing all of the disciplines that you're going to see on your exam. There is a lot of internal medicine on the exam, but there are still a lot of pediatrics and a lot of OB. And you definitely don't want to be a person that just shows up for the test and thinks that they're just going to pass without studying. The stakes are too high for you to be doing that. Yeah, of course, it's not going to look bad for future jobs if you have a failure. But to have to go through a 2-day exam all over again, and to have to pay almost $1,000 a second time when all you needed to do was just put in the time to study. And my perspective is, as a resident, you should be studying all the time anyway. You should constantly be trying to learn. A lot of times, especially early on in my studying, when I was casually studying, I would choose questions based off of what types of patients I'm seeing so that I can manage those patients better and also get some questions done. So in July and August, when I was doing my internal medicine rotations, TrueLearn has the ability for you to search for questions by keywords. So if I had a COP exacerbation patient, I would use the keyword COPD and I would do all the questions that are related to COPD. And that's just going to make me a better doctor. So I think that's an important perspective to have, and so that you have multiple reasons to be doing those practice questions, and it gives you a little bit more motivation to study. I will also say though, that this was the most challenging of the complex exams. When I left that exam, especially on the second day, I thought that I failed or it was going to be my lowest score. So I just want to say that that is a normal feeling. So despite having that feeling, I still had a higher score than my other exams, and it was a score I was really happy about. So it's okay to feel that way because it is just a harder exam. It's a culmination of everything you've learned in medical school and first year residency in most cases. So it's okay to feel like that. You're probably fine as long as you actually put in the work that I talked about. I hope that this was all helpful. Again, I highly recommend you use TrueLearn and take advantage of my discount code because a lot of times these question banks can be so expensive. And I do highly recommend doing the 1 year subscription so that the first 6 to 9 months you can be casually studying, and then the last 3 months you can ramp it up a little bit and try to get those questions in every day so that you can finish the bank right before your exam. And make sure to do those CDM cases and maybe do them a second time. Again, you probably only need one question bank. Unless you have a history of failing level 1 or level 2, then it might be good to get a second question bank and to just crank out those questions day after day. And if you're an Anki person, Anki is a big one that you want to continue. I like to do my Anki while I have my coffee every morning. I do a few cards, and it's great to just have that first thing in the morning to feel confident because you've already gotten a few minutes of studying under your belt. One last thing that I'll recommend is I do really like the Divine Intervention podcast. I have listened to him since taking level 1 and step 1, and he has a few really great episodes, especially when it's talking about different screening. That's very family medicine and PCP oriented, kind of age-related screening, and also different demographics and risk factors. There's a few episodes on that, so I really recommend those. And if you do have a blind spot that you're getting questions wrong about the same subject, then it might be good to look up the topic on Divine Intervention podcast and listen to that episode. I think that it was really helpful because I would try to go for a run a few times a week and I would just pop on one of those episodes just so I feel more productive in my day-to-day. I would sometimes put on the podcast while I was commuting because especially in January I had a little bit of a longer commute and that takes away my time from studying. So I'm glad that I was able to listen to something that would give me some review of different topics. So with that brings us to the end of the episode. Again, hope that this was helpful for you and good luck studying. I'm often asked about what question banks to use to study for medical school board exams, and I always recommend TrueLearn. I love TrueLearn's practice questions because they include detailed answer explanations and comprehensive analysis of how you're doing compared to your past progress and compared to your peers. I am so happy that FirstLine has partnered with TrueLearn. For a discount on your subscription, use the link in the episode description and use code FirstLine at checkout. FirstLine. One word, no spaces, no capitalization. View the show notes for additional information about this episode and access the link to FirstLine's website. Don't forget to follow or subscribe to FirstLine on your favorite podcast app to hear a new episode every Monday. Thanks for listening.